We at Mount Zion's Mission Barbados Foursquare Church, with Senior Apostles Dr. Lucille and Chris Beard, invite you to tune in this and every Friday from 11:30 a.m. for In God's Glory, to hear the powerful Word of God that will transform and change your life. Remember, the church that's alive is worth the drive. Let's hear the Word of God.
A very blessed and wonderful good morning to all the listeners on this radio station. Welcome to our program today, In God's Glory, coming out of Mount Zion's Mission's Barbados Foursquare Church. And we are going to have an exciting time today. And we thank you for tuning in, not just this Friday, but every Friday that you tune in. And for all of the times that you have spoken and called and emailed to tell us what a wonderful ministry it is to you and to the nation and all who would listen. We want to welcome today Elder Andrew Octave in the studio as usual with us. And we also have our senior apostles, Apostle Dr. Lucille Beard and Apostle Chris Beard. And today is a very relaxing and an exciting time for us, and we're going to fill you in, but I'm just going to ask Elder Andrew to ask God's blessings on today's program.
Blessing, good morning, everyone. Father, we give you praise for another awesome day. We are able to bless the people of this wonderful nation with this program. We pray, Father, as we bring it to them, that you will guide us. We pray, Father, that a heart, a soul, a spirit will be touched and rekindled. I thank you, Father, for giving us the ability to reach your children. And I pray, Father, for salvation, that the seed will be sown in our heart, that will cause them to turn towards you and embrace your wonderful gift of salvation. And we speak this into being in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so very much. And we were very excited, and we were talking about it all along, and we are very blessed to have as our leaders Apostle Lucille and Apostle Chris. But this year, even though we are celebrating our 30 years, we also had a great celebration yesterday. Yesterday, Apostle Lucille and Apostle Chris celebrated 50 years of marriage. Oh, wow, exciting. We have to pause at that point because it's 50 years. It's a golden jubilee. And we felt that as a ministry, that it would be nice to sit with them on this program today to let them share their heart and the journey that they had for these last 50 years. 50 years is not 50 days. So we're going to hear all of that. Welcome, Apostle Lucille and Apostle Chris, today.
Thank you so much, Reverend Gail, for your welcome. Good morning to listeners in Barbados, Eastern Caribbean, wherever the program is being heard. I'm excited to be here, as usual.
As usual.
Praise God.
And exciting to share that 50-year journey. What a journey. Oh, my goodness. What a journey. And it's still a journey. And we, as always, we pray that it will go more and more. Was and is and continue to be. Bless God. So we are just going to ask you, and we want you to be free enough to share. Because in this time and season, we need people who have journeyed there for others to know what it's like and the downfalls, the challenges, and the exciting moments on this journey. So one of the things that we want to ask, first of all, is how, where, and when did you meet? And that could be the whole half an hour, but as brief as possible. Apostle Chris is there smirking, right? But if you can just share briefly how you met and where it was and your journey at that point.
Praise God. Thank you again, Reverend Gail. We met in church. I got saved pretty young, and so did Apostle Chris. I got saved at the age of 9, and he got saved at the age of 14. Mm-hmm. And so we were church babies, and he was very much involved in music. In fact, the church where we were, CEF, was the first church to have a gospel band in Barbados, and he was the rhythm guitarist.
Oh, wow.
You know, in the band, praise God. And of course, we grew up together. I grew up in the Sunday school and eventually became the Sunday school superintendent. But I remember at one point I heard one of the Sunday school teachers saying that God has always created someone for us. We were not just born into the world. We were not just created in the world in a random way. And God had a specific plan for us, and he also had a specific person for us. That other half, that better half for us. And so I said, okay, let me just ask the Lord. It says, I want to obey him. I want to do the right thing. If there's anybody out there that God has made for me, I want to meet them. I want to know who they are. So I went to the Lord and I started to pray. I knelt before the Lord. In my home, we had all these chairs in the living room. And I used to preach to these chairs.
Yes, I heard about that.
And use the brush as my microphone. So I knelt by the chair and I asked the Lord to tell me, to show me. You know, I said, God, you know, is there someone that's there? And all of a sudden this picture came up, you know, like the passport.
Yes.
Kind of picture we only see to the waist.
Yes,
like,
yes.
And it was Apostle Chris. And I said, nah.
But wait a minute. Just in case people hear this story and I'm 9 years old and 14 years old. And what we think is
that was beyond the odd 9 years.
Yes,
and 14 years.
Right, yeah.
That was where we started.
See,
started
we made sure. We made
then
sure.
We were not, I was a teenager.
Sure we
and he was a teenager.
Yeah.
He was.
We have not put it.
That was all beyond our childish years. And so when I saw this, I don't like him. I didn't love him, but you know, some people you just don't get to connect with.
Right.
So there's no connection.
You didn't see me yet. You didn't really see me. I was just there, but you really recognized who I was.
He was there, but I never saw him.
Correct.
Never came into my view. Never came into my view.
Your purview.
So I said, okay, well, I'm going to have to ask the Lord. I'm going to put a fleece before the Lord, because I believe that when we want to do the right thing with God, we have to ask him and ask him again.
Yes, yes.
Until we're sure. Because the enemy will send people our way too.
Mm-hmm.
The same way that God will send people our way, the enemy will send people our way. So I said, God, I want you to tell me. You know, show me. So I asked the Lord. I said, when are we going to church? I used to go to church in the evenings. Well, church was at 7 o'clock. I would go about 6:30 to pray before church got started. So I said, this is a long shot. This is something that could never happen. Because I always go there by myself. So I said, if he's the one, really, when I go to church to pray today as usual, let him be the person to come in and join me in prayer. I said nothing to him. I just said it to God. So I go to the church as usual, 6:30, and I'm kneeling at the altar, and I heard the door open. And then I hear these footsteps coming up the aisles, and I'm saying, Lord, I don't want to look back, really, but I have to look back because I want to see. When I look back, it was him.
Wow.
I just cannot believe it. So that was my first place I saw. And then the next one is, I lived about a mile and a half up in the hills, up in Crick Hill from the church, and I had to walk to church. And I said, well, when I get to church, let him be the first person that I see. That's a long shot, too, because that never happened. So when I got to the bottom of the street where the church is, and I said, great. You know, nobody's there. Fine. I'm going to escape this one. But it was a bus at the bus stop. And then when the bus moved, I heard him say, hello. He was up there crossing. I said, this was unbelievable. And then the third one, I said, and I said he had a girlfriend, you know, some girl he was talking to named Vring. So I said, whatever, I'm not going to get in between him and nobody. If you want me, if you ask the person you've created for me, then God, you got to fix it yourself. And as I said, we never used to talk, but we had a crusade in Carlton, the Lord Carlton. At the end of the crusade, he said to me, I want to talk to you. There's no problem. So the Sunday after, he said, you know, I had this girlfriend, Maureen, and all of a sudden during the week, we decided that we're not going to talk anymore.
Oh, wow.
Just like that. We didn't have a quarrel, no fuss, no nothing. We just decided to bring it to an end. Then I knew those three fleeces that I asked the Lord, that was confirmation. But then I went to one of the sisters in the church, and I told her what the Lord was saying to me. And she told me, well, write to him and tell him what the Lord is saying. And so, you know, when I wrote to him, you know, and she gave him the letter, he He told her, what? I always loved that girl. I always loved her. I used to sit across and watch her and see how cute she is and her eyes are so. I always loved her. So, but then, you know, because I was the woman, I was the lady, and I was the one who initiated the country. I got disciplined. I got put in the back seat for a month.
I don't think they have back seats now.
What about they had back seat back then? I got this.
What was that? Really?
He got this for 2 weeks, and I got this for a month.
Wow.
Because I was too forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, women don't tell men that you're the person. You know, women have to wait until men speak to them and be well spoken forward.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't speak for yourself. So I spent a whole month in the back seat. And that's where it got started. You know, we pledged each other that we would live clean lives and keep ourselves holy and righteous before God and before marriage.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. And Apostle Chris, I wanna pull you in right now, because obviously from way back then to now, I want to know, what would be your biggest lesson you learned about love over the years? Love and relationship.
One has to be true to oneself. We have to be true and aware of the what is the man love you? Obviously, a very beautiful girl recognize that.
All right.
And I have to try and make sure that I just do a walk away.
I agree.
And the couple gets there, look at the couple. Take this promise line and then work it with me and go like that and let that happen. So I had to make a big disclaimer: nobody has come in here, nobody, that's it, stay where you are. We know this, but all things, it is not, it will not be easy because we're very young people. We just like stay where we see somebody, each other begin to have this feeling and all these emotions for. And we were also the vice serious spiritual church. So we could do that. We could behave badly. We could step out and do this. I was traveling overseas. And one of the things that we did, we would go to different islands. And our bishop would spend some time. And we were on our way to Trinidad for a conference. Right? And she went to the airport, see me off. And I saw her. And we were like, kiss, something like that. And she took. Is that them happening?
No, it's your story. Tell it. Tell it.
But she told Bishop Vaughn, and she complained to Bishop for me. Tell me, I kissed her, and they defiled her. He tell the Bishop that. I know the woman crying, bad. I'm crying, I'm defiled, I'm not Christian anymore. He kissed me, and I'm not committed sin and all that. I can't understand what it was. It was a little more mature, a little older than her name, so. And he said it wasn't that serious. There was a huge thing.
Yeah.
So we went before the bishop. Explained to the bishop what happened.
Yeah.
The bishop, yes, go on, yes. And, yes. And kissed me on my lips. And. He just kissed me on my lips. That floor, just about to floor me.
Yeah.
But that speaks a lot to me. The character, how she feels about her Lord.
Yeah.
She didn't want anything at all in our relationship to come. To contract or to tarnish the relationship with the Lord. And for me, that's one of the major things that kept me attached to all this thing, is God first.
Okay.
God first. Okay. If God is first,
mm-hmm.
He will give you a good gift.
Mm-hmm.
He give you the best gift, but give it first.
Amen.
And that's one thing that stood up to us all along.
One thing I've learned, though, from Gail and listeners, is that once you are in the will of God and the purpose of God, you will have challenges.
Uh-huh.
And you have to be determined that this is God's will, and we're going to stick to it.
Correct.
Despite what happened. When we decided that we were going to get married, my father protested, and his mother protested. So we had a lot of contention and so on. And we had, you know, when we planned that big wedding, you know, and so on. And after we saw all the confusion that was going to come, I said, you see me? I don't like confusion.
Mm-hmm.
So what we decided that he will do, he'll pick me up from work that evening,
mm-hmm.
and then just go to a friend's house and get married.
Correct.
Just so he looked. So he picked me up from work.
Because at the end of the day, you were in God's will.
Of course, yeah.
God had confirmed it.
Of course, yes.
And y'all loved each other and loved God. So whether it was a big wedding, small wedding, between wedding, you were fulfilling God's purpose.
But on the way to the house, my friend's house, the car broke down four times. The car broke down four. And the last and the fourth time, we parked it and walked.
Mm.
And walked. Some person would have said, this means that it's not God.
Mm-hmm.
But it told me, this is God and the devil is fighting it.
Yes.
So we have to move beyond that. Mm-hmm. And do what is right. Mm-hmm. And that's what we did.
And here y'all are 50 years down the road, be able to testify about that.
Mm-hmm.
And 50 years down the road, not just being married, mm-hmm. but having two wonderful children and now grandchildren, being full-time ministers and mm-hmm. having to love and shepherd God's people.
Yeah.
My question to you is, what would you say is the secret to having a long and happy marriage? You would have gone through a lot of challenges.
Mm-hmm.
But you're here today, and I have to keep saying 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you say would have kept you going together,
mm-hmm.
ministry, family, home life, and all the other things that comes up with it? What would you say?
First of all, I know that it's the power of God and the Holy Spirit upon us that kept us in church before God, subject to God, subject to the Holy Spirit, and obedient to God, listening to God and wanting to do exactly what God would say to us, and do it exactly as he said we should do it. But what's important is that we communicated a lot. Even if I'm upset with him, we talk. I said, let's talk about this. In my role as a pastor and a counselor, I've seen a lot of marriages fail because the couple stopped communicating with each other. We've never done that. If I'm vexed, we get all the vexedness and stuff, but then we always say, let's talk. And he will listen, and I will listen. So we've always communicated, and we've reached a point in our marriage where we can have a disagreement now, and you will not know 5 minutes after. We don't go to bed angry with each other. We don't get it in the morning and go back to where you doing me that yesterday and stuff. We don't do that. We just move on as though it never happened. Isn't that we are putting it under the carpet? It's that we feel like we ventilate it, we discuss it, and we say, okay, this is what we're going to do. Preventative measures, we don't do that anymore, we don't go there anymore, this is it, this caused me pain, whatever, let's be very sensitive to that. And once we communicated to each other, the other person's pain, then that causes us to avoid that collision, or that quarrel, and so on. So it's very important for us, and it worked for us to talk. But I'm a talker, and I'm a person that I like to vent, and I'm passionate. He's obviously, he's quiet. Well, not as quiet as you think, really. When he wanted to talk, he would talk, but I talk more. But I'm more the talker and stuff like that. But if he has to talk, he will talk. And I would pull that out of him. I would say, no, I want you to talk. Sometimes he may not want to talk. I said, I need to hear what you think about this. I need to do it. Hear me. You need to hear me, and I will hear you. And couples need to do that. It's very, very important. And never lose respect for each other. When you become disrespectful to each other, that's not a good place to be at. That destroys a marriage. Persons need to always feel that they're respected. Even if you're upset, and we've always said, even when we're angry, we're not saying negative things or ugly words to each other.
Correct.
We've said this from the beginning. If I'm vexed with you, I will not use negative words towards you. Because he's my husband. If he's vexed with me, he calls me negative things. He's speaking that into my life. He's my priest. So you want to be careful what you say. I'm his wife, and I'm part of him. If I'm saying negative things to him, I'm speaking that into his life. Mm-hmm. So some of these couples get upset, and they spout things out of their mouths. Can't do that. We never do that. We don't speak negative, bad things to each other. We just say, I'm calling and saying, well, honey, this and honey that. And I don't say to anybody, even I'm vexed. Because we have decided to always be glad to each other.
So yesterday would have been 50 years that you have celebrated. And Apostle Chris, did you ever imagine that you will be 50 years under your belt together with this lovely lady?
Never in my mind. I never thought of it. I know how long she was worth it, because I spent some time looking at her, what her whole demeanor was, her attitude about church, attitude about God, attitude about family. And I also appreciate the fact how we gel together, how we work together, we were quite poor, right? And but we had to navigate all that on our own. So we had to build that cell around us to know how to protect ourselves and how to accomplish goals.
Yes.
And it became essential for us because we got our children very early too. I was 24, she's 20. Right. First child before you got 25. Second one before she got 26. and maybe if the Lord, if things didn't happen, we probably got three more, but we got two. Right. Mm-hmm. And a lovely tour I got for 2 years. It was heartbreaking, and we had no one around us but us. Mm-hmm. I mean that, nobody. So we had to learn to live, to work with what we have, accomplish something that nobody shows what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times, where we're from, where we're going, very few people take it to side and say, this is what you look for, this is what to do. I didn't hear that from anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord was our keeper.
Yes.
He was our guide. And because we evolved in everything we did, there was no shortage of information coming from him, what to do, how to behave ourselves, who to call on when we have problems, what to do when we're in crisis. And it became that essential ingredient for us to now learn to build family.
Yes.
With children, build our children, and we continue to teach them the things that would cause them to have a legacy.
Amen.
Like, that's great. We all have success. In fact, we still do that today. We're still working with everyone around us to let us know that there's something bigger ahead of us
mm-hmm.
than what's behind us.
Amen.
And don't stay where you are. Keep going in that direction until you get that. That person is God. And when you have him in your life and he directs you, your life just mushrooms into huge things you never imagined could happen. It's all accessible to us when we do it that way.
Okay, amen. And what sage advice? So on the last question, I would ask you, what would you say, this has been great wisdom that y'all just gave us. What would you say to not just newlyweds, but those people who were couples who might be struggling, mm-hmm. those who are young in marriage, what would you say to them? And finally, before we close, just pray for all the marriages, not just in the churches, but also in the nation.
I will answer before she goes. Family is a serious thing. Marriage is a serious thing. God honors it. And we have to teach our children how to honor it. We have to teach our grandchildren, we teach our congregants how to manage this issue called marriage. It's God's idea. When we do it right, we get enormously positive results. When we ignore, we have problems.
I would say God first. Put God at the center of your marriage. And love God more than anything else. A lot of times men, will go after a woman who love them bad. I want to go after a man who love him. But that man doesn't love God, though. He can't love you. If the woman don't love God, she can't love you. So what we do, I love God passionately. All right? And Apostle Christian from the beginning, it will all be God first. I will sacrifice for God, give to God, do for God. And that God comes first. And I found the same thing with him. So I had no problem at all doing God's work, doing church work, and being a pastor. Because he came alongside of me, supported me. And he had the same passion and love for God that I have. So if you have that love for God, then you love each other easily. You know, and that was for us, our flow, our connecting factor, the gel that had us together, that we loved the Lord. And then it was easy for us to love each other with our faults and all the things that would cause discontentment and so on. So I want to say to the couples that are listening, to learn to love God, and it becomes easy to love each other. And never say ugly things to each other. Because people say words can't hurt you. But listen, words can cause a lot of damage
mm-hmm.
and destruction and mayhem. Speak the positive things. You can't say a nice thing, shut your mouth. You know, and just, love the person.
Yeah.
But don't say bad things because you're angry. And never speak in anger. So I pray today right now for the couples that are listening. As a woman of God, serving God as a pastor for over 42 years, and as a married woman for 50 years, let's say, what God has given to me, and what's on me, I declare that for you too. That presence, that power of God, that anointing to water our marriage, to fertilize the seed of our marriage on a daily basis, and cause whatever we plant to grow and to be successful. I declare the same for you too. Even when you have a project and it doesn't seem as though it's coming coming to the pass as you want. Put it before the Lord.
Amen.
Learn to take everything to the Lord. Learn to respect Him. And one of the things that we never stop doing, having devotions in our home. Our children came up and they saw us having devotion. We prayed, we sang. My children learned to sound leading, to direct and to preach and all that. Because we did that in our homes. So when we went to church, it was an extension of what they saw at home. And when we came from church back home, it was an extension of what they saw at church. So we want one person at home and another person at church. They saw God and devotion and love and worship to God and service to God at home. And they saw it at church as well. So be honest, you know, in your life. Serve God with all your heart. Serve Him with all your soul, all your mind. I pray in Jesus' name against the darkness that's coming against marriages. There's only marriages that are failing. And good couples that love each other is falling apart. That's the devil.
Yes.
He's his friend. But God is about marriage. And
okay.
I pray that healing, the healing virtue of God will be applied right now to your marriage. The hurt and pain that you're feeling right now, just the balm of Gilead will be applied. And the Holy Spirit will speak over you and heal all your hurts and all your pains. Now you will know that God is with you. This prayer is effective. And you see that change in your life this very year. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.
Praise God. Thank you so very much, Apostle Lucille, for that wonderful prayer. And Apostle Chris, as we learn from you in the name of Jesus and on behalf of Mount Zion Missions Barbados Foursquare Church, we want to wish you a blessed and wonderful 50th Jubilee celebration anniversary. And we have a whole weekend packed up for you all.
I heard it's a renewal of vows or something.
Renewal of vows at Accra Beach. So we're going to have a fantastic time. You're going to have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. God bless
you so much.
Highly in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Mount Zion Missions.
We are giving much thanks and praise to God for our sponsors, Nature Isle Landscape. They are very professional at the work of landscaping and beautifying your homes and properties. Please give them a call and benefit from their services. Contact information 436-4753, 436-4753. And remember, the church that's alive is worth the drive. Please let us know how this program has impacted you. 422-2512 or 432-6479. Please give us a call. Thank you so much for being with us here today.
Praise God.
Thank you for joining us. We look forward to sharing with you as you tune in this and every Friday from 11:30 a.m. for In God's Glory on Life 97.5 FM.